Amen. Thank you very much. That song, Grace is Flowing Like a River, millions there have been supplied. Still it flows as fresh as ever from the Savior's wounded side. A wonderful song, reminder this evening. Take your Bibles, please, and turn back to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. One problem with having a week's intermission is that there's more danger of people forgetting what you went over last time, which is a particular problem when it's a series, and when last week was actually an introduction to the entire series. I hope you all remember something. Sometimes I'll ask the teens if they remember what we talked about last week. Usually that just discourages me, so I stop asking it. You all at least remember the beautiful picture I drew? Painting? I was going to sell it on eBay, but somebody erased it. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Pastor, you missed it. I had footprints in the sand by a discombobulated pogo stick. Was what I called it. So, does anyone remember what the painting stood for? That's actually more important because it did have a point. And remember, I'd all you're welcome to raise your hand and yell at me. Yes, sir.
There are highlights and lowlights of each life.
Yes, that is true. It represented how I think we often tend to view our life just as disconnected dots, when in reality our life is not disconnected dots, it's actually a pathway that connects all those dots. That was the illustration from last week. We began our study of pondering your path. Last week was a little bit different. It took us to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. Pretty much took the phrase pondering your path and talked about pathways, but didn't actually talk much about the verse. That's a bit unusual, but that's due to the shortened service and the fact that it was an introduction. So today I'm actually getting back to our text, like you're supposed to do when you preach from the Bible. So we're actually going to get to that today. But just a quick reminder of last week. Remember that the Bible very often, particularly in the Old Testament, pictures our life as a series of steps or as a pathway. It uses the word path, it uses the word way, it uses steps very often, particularly in the Psalms or in the Proverbs. So pretty much last week we kind of dug into what is the significance of that word picture. How does that help us to view our lives that way? We looked at the fact that where we are in the present is the result of a path that we've walked to get to where we are. Where we are going to be in the future is the result of a path that we are now walking. So today is a bridge into the future. Everything I do today does therefore have some significance because I'm taking steps down a pathway away from something and towards something else. I concluded by saying if there's nothing else that you got, which I hope you got maybe a few things from that sermon, but if there's nothing else, from the youngest to the oldest, I hope that you get that one thought, that my actions do have consequences. It can be good consequences or bad consequences, but your actions do have consequences. My burden is that too often in my own life or seen in lives of other people that we think that at least some of our actions, some of our decisions are kind of isolated or insulated from everything else in our life, from other people around us, so therefore this little thing won't actually matter. But that's not true. Everything we do has consequences, good or bad. That was last week. I'm going to not preach that again because I want to preach this week's message. We are back in Proverbs 4, verse 26. Let's go ahead and read it. It says, ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. So today I would like to first of all look at an analysis of this text. This word ponder, it's very important. It's in the title. Usually if you put something in the title, that means it's important. So it's good to have a good idea of what the Bible means when it uses this word, ponder. The Hebrew word could be defined as to weigh, as in a balance, as in a scale. Like when we have the VBS penny offering, we have a scale. Okay, it's to weigh, to evaluate. This is an analytical evaluation. Those are big words, all right? It's not actually that scary. To evaluate is to assess, to judge, to rate, to analyze, to consider thoughtfully, to consider carefully. I did not draw a picture today, but I do have an illustration. I did not bring one. I'm just going to describe it. How many of you in here have ever played the game chess? Are any of you avid chess fans, like for real, or you just play casually? Any avid chess fans? Like you've read books about it, you've studied all the moves, you actually have a strategy? Because when I play stress, I don't have a strategy. I just, play casually. I still have a brother, an older brother, and he used to play chess with my grandfather. And I'm not sure that they were completely avid, but a lot more than I am or was. I couldn't really stand it. But they would spend hours playing a game of chess, which apparently is how you're supposed to do it. So pretty much, it's like, you know, you have a chess board, and you have one person sitting over here, and they're like this, waiting for the other guy to move. So it's like 2 minutes later, this guy over here, who's been sitting like this, finally moves one piece, really gingerly and carefully, and places it, thinks about it, and lets it go. And then this guy over here now is going to sit here. He's like, and we're going to think about it. Anyways, I don't have patience for that whatsoever. I get mocked sometimes for liking the game of soccer, which is, well, anyways, when you mock people for liking something the rest of the world likes, that actually puts you in the minority, which is fine. But people accuse soccer of being boring. I would like to point out the game of chess. I read a statistic that the longest game of chess ever took, I believe it was 969 moves, which is a big deal when it's chess moves. It lasted 20 hours and 15 minutes. And guess what? It ended in a tie. So you can do worse than watching soccer. That, by the way, averages out to 4.5 minutes per move. So if you apply that to the average chess game that takes 39 minutes, that's still about 3 hours of chess game for 39 actions, which is kind of disgruntling. Anyways, I'd probably even rather watch golf or baseball than chess is kind of the conclusion I came to. So anyways, why did I talk about chess? Okay, there's a reason why people sit there forever and analyze, right? Or you could use the word ponder. The reason is that any piece I move has significance, right? There could be repercussions. I'm thinking like defensively, okay, if I move this guy here, is he gonna still be protected? Or is he gonna leave someone else unprotected? Is there a game plan I'm trying to put into play? Is he baiting me into a trap here? Is there someone I can take out? Is that guy guarded? There's all these things you're trying to work through. And in fact, if you're anything decent at chess, you think like, tons, like 4, 5, 6 moves down or more down the road. You're not thinking just, okay, I'm making one move here. You're thinking, I'm going to do this, and then what's he going to do? And then what am I going to do if he does that? Or what am I going to do if he does the other thing? Or what does he think I'm going to do? What do I want him to think I'm going to... Anyway, it just gets complicated, right? You're just thinking through all these possibilities. But that's, I think, really a good illustration of the word to ponder. If you don't play chess, maybe you play checkers. You can apply the same principles on a lesser degree. Just as a side note here. I have youth staff always telling me to talk about Suriname, so this is free. You don't have to pay for it tonight. But in Suriname, they have their own type of checkers. Surprisingly, they call it Suriname checkers. Usually, if you buy a checkerboard in Suriname, you have a standard checkerboard on one side, so you can play chess or American checkers, or they're not American, but I think they're actually invented like India. But anyways, our checkers on the one side. On the other side, they have a Suriname checkerboard, which has much smaller squares, so you have more squares, therefore more playing area and also more pieces. There's two significant differences between Suriname checkers and the way we play checkers. Major significant difference number one, every piece can jump backwards. So if you're not used to it, that throws a pretty serious kink in your think. And you say, okay, so what makes king special? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that is very significant difference number two. Kings basically function like a bishop does in chess. So as long as my line of sight is open, I can go all the way across the board, jump you all the way across the board, make multiple jumps all over the board if you line up ever so nicely for me. So Suriname checkers is so much more fun than the way we play checkers here. But there's a little bit more pondering that goes into Suriname checkers, because now everyone jumps backwards. And of course, if you play checkers right, you have to jump if you can. That's the only way to play checkers. So it just makes it ever much so more exciting when you throw in a couple little rules like that. All right, so pondering, come back to it. Pondering involves thinking, purposely. Possibly involves stopping, pausing, turning off the noise, concentrating, purposely and analytically evaluating options. What's going to happen if I move here? What's going to happen if I turn right rather than turn left? What are these choices that I'm considering? What are the repercussions going to be? It involves making judgment calls. You know, this is, the verb here is actually an intensive verb. It's also an imperative. So not only Is it something that we're being commanded to do, or that Solomon is pleading for us to do? The intensive verb adds a degree of urgency to it. All right, this stresses the importance of pondering your path. Pondering requires action. All right, you don't usually do all this analytical thinking while you're asleep or while you're playing video games or any other distractions. You have to choose to do it. You have to act in order to do it. It implies a need for careful and thoughtful consideration. Sometimes nowadays that's a bad word, like you have to think, like, oh my. Because when you have to think, that means sometimes you have to put the cell phone somewhere where you can't hear and click the TV off and turn the computer off and actually just be still. To ponder describes one who is considering the options, analyzing every aspect, discerning every implication. That's what I like to call living your life on purpose. You see, there's two types of people who play chess. You have the people who actually come to the chess game with a plan, right? They have like a defensive strategy and an offensive strategy, and they're going to put that in play. Or you have the people like me, I'm like, oh, let's play chess, man. So it's like, if you wait 10 seconds, I think you're taking too long, so it's just like, do whatever, and ooh, someone won, yay. Right? But at least it doesn't take forever. But that's what I would call living life by accident, when you apply that to our life, particularly our spiritual life. Do you approach your life? Do you look to the future and just kind of just wander around and whichever way the wind's blowing, it just kind of blows you off this way, blows you off that way, whatever might happen to take place? Or do you actually have purpose in your life and live your life on purpose? To live your life on purpose is to ponder, is to think about where you are, where you're going, where you want to go, where is this path going to take me? What path am I on? How did I get here? Where am I headed? Is God pleased with this path? Will God be glorified if I take this path all the way to its destination? Again, this is an imperative. This is something we are commanded to do. So when was the last time you actually took any length of time and just sat and thought about your life, your path? If you haven't done it recently, I think you ought to do so, maybe tonight even. It's interesting that this same Hebrew word is not very common actually in the Old Testament. It's only used a few other times. And two of the other times it's used are actually in relationship to God evaluating your path, which is a very interesting thought to me. In other words, I have the responsibility to evaluate my own path to see whether or not it's pleasing God. But if I don't do so, I can know that God is evaluating my path. We could flip over to Proverbs chapter 5. It might not even have to turn a page. Look at verse 22. Actually, let's go verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he, the Lord, pondereth all his man's goings. It's actually translated the exact same word in English as well. God is pondering all my goings. Isaiah 26, verse 7 says, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, referring to God, dost weigh the path of the just. That's the same word that's translated to ponder. God is evaluating your pathway, whether or not you are. It's similar to when the Apostle Paul tells us that we would do well to judge ourselves so that God doesn't have to judge us. So you can live your life aimlessly if you want. Take no thought of your pathway, of where you are, where you're going. That is your prerogative, but the fact is that God is evaluating your path, and he is the one who's going to hold you accountable. Know that God also wants to help guide you along your path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. And then what? He shall direct thy paths. So to ponder. It's not necessarily a word that we do all the time in relation to our lives, although if we think about it, we probably ponder a whole lot of things that are less important. But to ponder, to pause, to think, to analyze, to evaluate. The path. It says, ponder the path of thy feet. 2 weeks ago, we discussed at length the significance of that word picture in the Old Testament, so I'm not going to do that again. I think it is instructive to notice perhaps some specific paths that the Bible talks about. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these. because we do not have a lot of time tonight. But I'm just going to read some of these off. You can kind of tuck them away, maybe think about them some more later. The Bible talks about some good paths specifically and some bad paths specifically. Psalm 16:11 talks about the path of life. Psalm 27:11 refers to God's path for you. Psalm 27:11 also refers to this as being a plain path. Psalm 119:35 refers to a path of God's commandments. Proverbs 2:13 and 8:20 refer to paths of uprightness. Proverbs 2 verse 20 refers to the path of good men or righteous. Proverbs 3:13 and 17 refers to a path of wisdom. Proverbs 4:18, a path of the just. Talks about some bad paths. There's the path of sinners in Proverbs 1, verses 10 and 15. The way of darkness, Proverbs 2, verse 13. The path of the wicked, Proverbs 4, verse 14. The path of immorality, Proverbs 7, verse 25. You can follow these through the Bible and even get specific ideas. You're like, okay, so what should my path look like? Well, why don't you look at some of these and see, well, does my path look like it's following wicked men or righteous men? Is it following God's commandments or my own way? Darkness, immorality. Let's move on to the end of the verse here. Ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. What is established? It's the idea of having a foundation, of being fixed, secure, enduring, stable. This is an ongoing state. Right? This is like a continual present tense verb. Let your ways be continually established. In other words, one who ponders his heart, ponders his path, takes the time to evaluate his path, is ensuring that he has a solid ground to walk on as he goes into the future. The implication then would be, if you refuse to ponder your path, then you do not have that stability, that foundation as you're going to the future. You may or may not end up on a good path if you take no time to decide what path you're going on. You might by accident or you might not, but you have no security, no stability going towards the future. Again, live your life on purpose, not by accident. So this verse then, ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. Let's think then about a couple of responses. I need to go quickly here, but a couple of responses, right? Okay, so I ponder my path. What should I do if I find out I'm on the right path? Isn't that important? All right. Proverbs 4, that's where we are. Let's look at verses 25 and 27. Those are on either side of our main text. Verse 25 says, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. All right, our text, ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. There's other verses we could look at to say the exact same thing, but the basic message is, if you're on the right path, stay on it. You say, isn't that pretty obvious? Yeah, that is obvious. You know, the Bible talks a lot about being focused. Focused on a destination. Focused on eternity. There's a reason for that. I think back to John Bauer's message this last Sunday. We have a man evaluating the present circumstances of the wicked and the present circumstances of the righteous, and he's thinking, man, it looks like they have it off a whole lot better than I do. So maybe I want to be like the wicked, not the righteous. But the conclusion that he came to was, no, I need to look at the end. The end of the wicked is destruction. The end of the wicked is perishing. But the end of the righteous is glory. When you remember that I'm on a path, then it helps you remember, well, just because this road here seems smoother or that road there seems rougher isn't necessarily as important as where that road ends up. Keep your focus on your destination. So if you're on the right path, don't be distracted. Don't be pulled away after all these allurements, these temptations. Don't wander from the path. You think, why would someone on the right path leave? Well, I'm not going to take the time to go through all this tonight because we can think of reasons. But just remember the Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I think too often we forget that we actually have an active enemy. Right? It's bad enough that I have my own sin nature that I have to deal with, my own tendency to want to leave the path. I actually have an active enemy setting traps for me. All right? We could go back to the chess or the checker game again. You know what people do in that? They try to bait you. Right? They try to convince you that it's safe to take your pawn, and you don't realize they're going to take your queen as a result. That they bait you, they trap you. The devil is doing that with us. So do not be distracted. Do not wander. Can I put it this way? Don't flirt with sin. Don't flirt with sin. It's too easy, too common, I think, to view any given sin as an isolated incident, right? Maybe as a whole, I say, okay, I don't want to be in a habit of sin, but just this once, I'm going to do it because it looks fun. I'm going to flirt with it a little bit, and we don't realize that we're taking steps off one path onto another path. I've heard an illustration before about a wealthy man who lived on a hill, on a top of a mountain, actually, and the path up to the top of the mountain was a pretty treacherous path. It wasn't super wide. There's a gorge, all right? If you went off the edge, you're probably going to die. So this man decides that he's going to hire a chauffeur for his family, right? So he puts out, say, an ad in the newspaper and gets some candidates to come, and he tells them that he wants to evaluate them, right? He tells them, I want to see which one of you is the best driver. So you tell me how close you think you can drive to the edge without going off. How good of a driver are you? You know, so the first man comes up like, you know, I can drive within a yard of the edge because I'm good like that. And then I'm going, well, I'm going to drive within 6 inches of the edge. And then the third driver comes and says, you know what? I'm driving all the way on the other side of the road. I'm not going near the edge. And what do you think that rich man said? He said, you're hired. He says, my family's going to be in that car. I want the man who stays as far away from danger as possible. What's the point? Too often we think we can flirt with sin, right? Because we want some of those pleasures of sin for a season. And we forget that we're flirting with danger. We forget that's the worm on the hook the devil is baiting us with, the cheese on the mousetrap, whatever, however you want to look at that. I think Romans 12:9 sums it up well when Paul says, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Unfortunately, too often we do not actually abhor evil. Cleave to the good. All right, so if you're on the right path, stay on it. Don't be distracted. Don't wander. If you're on the wrong path, the obvious implication would be get off. There's warnings against the wrong path. Proverbs 1:15 says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, the way of sinners. Refrain thy foot from their path. There's plenty of warnings against walking those paths. So if you find yourself on the wrong path, you do ponder your path and think, you know what? The path I'm on has a horrible destination. It has a destination of destruction. So what should you do? Get off. Change your paths. Why do people stay on the wrong paths? You thought about that? Why would someone stay on the wrong path if you evaluate and think, you know, the end of this is destruction, why would I stay? Some of them stay because it's fun, right? Because my focus is so much just on the temporal and on right now, I think, well, this fun is somehow going to be worth an eternity of destruction. They might stay because of peer pressure. People are going to laugh at me if I leave this path. They might stay because they think, well, it's going to be painful. I've been on this so long, it's going to be hard to get off this path. As painful as it may be to get off the path, that's still less pain than the destination's going to be. Focus, again, on the destination. Just like if you're on the right path, you must focus on the destination. If you're on the wrong path, sometimes the wrong path is fun, right? It's the smoother ride. You're riding first class. It's amazing. But the destination is not good. You know why they sometimes have to amputate limbs? Is because amputation is fun? No. Is it because the guy just wants to be the rest of his life without that leg? No. It's because I either cut off your leg or you die. Right? Sometimes the pain is worth the end result. We know that in every other sense of life, right? Athletes know that. Students know that. We know that anything worth getting, we have to work for, we have to sacrifice for. Unfortunately, we're not willing to do that spiritually. Your friends may laugh at you, that's true, but do you fear God more? Do you fear your friends more? So I just ask you tonight, all right, have you pondered your path? Have you thought about it? Like for real? If not, I would encourage you to do so. Again, that is the best way to go towards the future with stability, with that foundation. I've actually considered where I'm going. I've actually got some biblical principles to guide me. I've actually got God's help to guide me. I'm not just living life by accident, like I have no idea where I'm going to end up. Are you on a path right now that's pleasing to God? Great, amazing. Stay on it. Don't be distracted. Don't let friends get in the way. Don't let a career distract you. Don't let temptations distract you from that. Stay on that path. You're on a path that's not pleasing. Get off. Don't wait till tomorrow, all right? If you leave tonight and don't get off tonight, you're going to forget by tomorrow. You're going to get pulled back into that. Get off that path tonight. Think about the future. Think about the destination, not the present. So ponder your path. Let's pray. Lord, thank you once again for this text that we can come back to. Thank you for the instruction it gives us. Lord, I do ask that if the folks here tonight would take the time to ponder their paths. This is important from the youngest here to the oldest, that we would remember that we're going somewhere. We have a destination. Our steps are important. Our decisions have consequences. Lord, I want to please you with my life, glorify you through my life. I hope others in this room would say the same thing. But may we take the time to actually evaluate our path and see, is it actually going to glorify you? If not, let us get on the right path. If there's someone here tonight who's just stubbornly staying on a path they know is wrong, Lord, I ask that you convict their hearts, that they would get off that path, get on a path that would be pleasing to you, that could be blessed by you. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.